to him and urged him, "Please come at once." Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning towards the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good evening, church. It's nice to see you all, especially looking at this text from the book of Acts. It's a challenging text for our minds of the 20th and 21st century. What do you make of it, raising the dead? To have an ordinary human being like you and I, Peter, who raises the dead. Actually, if we want to take Ananias, the one before Dorcas' story starts, someone who just says to somebody, "Get up and tidy your mat," and that man gets up and tidy his mat. It's very difficult for us in 20th and 21st century to cope with this sort of incident. We have conditioned ourselves to actually use an unacknowledged filter when we read the scripture. There are acceptable things and there are non-acceptable things. And the way we work with that is we come up with quite a few intellectual gymnasium tricks to help us do that. So I'm just going to give you two of these tricks. The first trick that we will say, "That was then, but this is now." That was then, but this is now. The reason we use this language, the then and the now, is that then they needed the church to be established, so God was extra gracious to the church. And so that was then, but this is now. We are well established now, so we wouldn't need the extra grace that the church needed at the time. So we can say to the Lord, "Lord, we're going to focus on what we can actually understand and cope with in 20th, 21st century Western cultures." Since the Reformation and the Enlightenment period, we've been doing that. The other issue that we will deal with, we will say, look, it will embarrass us if we begin to say we believe this stuff out there in the world. These are stories. These are myths to illustrate points. And I have heard many Christians who actually say that about the realities of doing the level of these miracles that were done by the disciples. And what we would say is they actually encountered Jesus, knew Jesus, had a special dispensation from Jesus, but it's stories to illustrate the strength of the Christian message. Today, we have to do it in a different way. It's a challenging stuff. I find it hard myself, but I want to say to any of us who take either position of these positions to filter out certain section of scriptures, we are still filtering out certain sections of scripture. Are you with me? There are a lot of people who don't like Paul, so they will filter some of Paul's teachings out when it comes to gender, when it comes to sexuality, when it comes to marriage, when it comes to headship. So we filter some of his stuff out and we say, look, that was for then, but this is now. And we in evangelical circles, we got very angry about that. And he says, scripture is scripture. We should stand by it. We should take it in its totality. But for those of us who believe this is a story to illustrate, then all the other stuff is stories to illustrate in the Bible as well. We can fall into that trap easily. Something I mentioned before, I'm still struggling with it. I'm still dealing with it. And that is the concept of functional atheism. You heard me speak it and mention it before. Hopefully you have got it. Or you're struggling with it the way that I am struggling with it. I really am still struggling with it. And I'm challenging myself all the time. Am I living a functional atheism within my faith? What that means is I believe in all that God is, but I don't put it into full action, into the fullness of what it is. So I'm willing to accept the natural stuff, but I cannot go anywhere near the supernatural stuff. And here is the problem for us. Our faith is supernatural. We cannot take the supernatural out of our faith and still think we have a totality of a Christian faith. Whatever gymnastic intellectual trick we want to use or to engage with, it'll get us into trouble. Because it will lose our authenticity when we speak to people. I would rather people say to me, your scriptures say this and you still believe it, rather than to say, people about me, your scriptures say this, but you decided it doesn't work for today, so you chuck it out. Because when I do that, I have lost my integrity. What else will I chuck out? Do you know, you could say that was then for then but now about almost everything in Scripture. You can say that about helping the poor, especially in a social, secular social state safety net. And I know some Christians who say the church should not get involved in providing for the poor because that's the responsibility of the state. As a Christian, we could say the church was called to look after the poor then because there was nobody to look after the poor. Poor, poor. But today, in Britain, if you're unemployed, you get unemployment money. Not so easy nowadays. If you're sick, you got disability or sickness money. Don't be too quick to actually decide on that. It's not the same as it used to be. I have engaged recently with people who are trying to access the state support and they're failing to do so. People who are totally entitled for it. Another one we could use, turn the other cheek. That was for then, but not for now. Jesus couldn't have meant it. He was trying to make a point in front of the Romans. Today, we live in a culture that we understand that you should not let anybody abuse you. Because when you allow people to abuse you, you lose your character, your identity, and it damages your psychology and psychological nature. And so you will suffer for much longer. We can come across so many parts of Scripture that we could say that was for then, but not for now. So what do you make of Dorcas? By the way, that was the introduction. If you think that was the sermon, I really fooled you into false sense of position there. Because I do want to speak about the supernatural. I do want to speak about Dorcas. I love the name Dorcas in Hebrew. It's the name, her name in Aramaic and Hebrew is Ghazali, which is gazelle. That we will use. So she was quite probably an attractive woman because that is a terminology that is used in Eastern culture to describe somebody who's graceful, who's beautiful, who's young, and who is attractive, believe it or not. So if I want to describe somebody really good, oh, he's a ghazal, that's about a man, he's a ghazal. That is because we just add the at the end, it makes it feminine. He's a ghazal. He's a really good-looking, handsome gentleman. I do the same to describe a ghazali. This is who she was. Why am I focusing on her name to such a level? Because it's a real person we're talking about. I want to talk about two other real things that are happening in the story. So to help us to know that this is not just a made-up mythical story. Lydda and Joppa, Jaffa. Joppa is only 13.4 miles from Lydda. If you travel to Israel today, our main airport is Lida Airport, what used to be called Lida Airport, but now it's called Ben Gurion Airport, but it's in the town of Lida. It takes you 4 hours, 14 minutes to get walking from Joppa to Lida or from Lida to Joppa. I've been to Lida quite recently. I took Sally. By the way, if you want the best hummus, one of the best hummus in Israel, you've got to go to Lida. You go to the middle of the town. You have a very basic restaurant. They'll serve you this fantastic hummus plate, and they'll chuck a few falafels on top of it, and Bob's your uncle. You've got a good meal. That's Lida. Joppa is not too far from it. But if you link the journey there and the journey back from those who went to see Peter, you're talking about 8.5 hours at least. So this woman was dead and laid down for 8.5 hours. Let's stick to the scripture. She was sick. She died. They washed her body, prepared her body, put her in the upper room, and they sent somebody for Peter. Peter gets there. After he gets the message from those who were sent to him, and by the time they come back, it's been 8.5 hours. Now, if you know anything about the science of death, you will realize by that stage she was truly dead and fully dead. If she was dead in that heat and in that time for 8.5 hours, it wasn't a trick of raising somebody who have pretended to be dead. Another thing about Dorcas, not just about the nature in which she was found when Peter got to her 8.5 hours after dying, at least. Dorcas was known for doing good and serving the widows and the poor. It is good to be known for doing good and serving the widows and the poor. Do you know one of the closest people to God's heart are widows, orphans, and strangers? I challenge you to read the scripture and see how many times that appears in scripture. And it appears as a measure for God's judgment on his people, whether they're living right or not living right. He had such a close heart towards those who couldn't care for themselves in that culture, who was broken and distraught. There might be different groups of people today around us, but nonetheless, these are the people that God's heart cares for greatly. This Dorcas was known to be doing good, to serve. She lived to serve others. You know, there are some people who live to serve others, that the others whom they're serving wish they don't serve them. Do you know that? They see them coming and they want to run out of the room. Do you know why? Because they already know that the serving they're receiving is more about the person that is serving than about those who've been served. Don't be that. But step up and serve for the sake of serving the widows and the poor. Do good. She was known for that. And that is a brilliant thing to be known for. And it's the challenge for every Christian. Last Saturday, we had a funeral here in this congregation. I'm not sure in this service, in this church. I'm not sure how many of you were here. There were 1,000 people in our church. You can read about it in the Cambrian. It's for one of the councillors, county councillors, who died. There were 4 eulogies spoken about him. They didn't make a saint of him, but they spoke about the care that he had for his community and his people. The way he would fight for his community and for his people. The way he cared about their issues. I did not know the man. I only met him a couple of times in functions, most probably. We said hello to each other, but not really got to know one another. But by the end of the time that I actually heard about him, I wish I got to know him. But I know if I got to know him, we would have clashed a few times because we would have had different ways of seeing the world. Because when they spoke about him, they presented him warts and all. Are you with me? He's a man who lived to serve others. In fact, one of the things, the eulogy statements about him, when he stood to be a counselor for Sambaddon, his wife and himself sat down and they said, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it right. I'm going to give it all. Now, let me just twist that and use a modern day parable, example of a person who lived among us. Do we say the same about living our Christianity out in our daily lives? If I'm going to do this Christian malarkey, I'm going to give it all. Dorcas gave it all. She lived and she spent out of her own means on the poor and the needy around her. And the widows loved her because they received so much from her. How do we know that? When Peter gets back, did you notice? He gets swamped by them. If it was me, I would have hid. I would have run out. When you have a bunch of widows coming at you, showing you clothes that this woman been making for them and telling you how great this woman, and they're all talking at you at once, I want to get out of that room. I think Peter did exactly the same. He said, show me where you laid her. He just wanted to get out of there very quickly. They wanted to tell him what a great servant she was. She lived to serve others. You see, she understood Jesus. Jesus said, whatever you do to the least of these, you do it to me. So when you serve out of the commission of Jesus' heart to the world. So first, she was a do-gooder and a servant. But there is something powerful that the text about Dorcas starts with. The first sentence talking about her. That verse 32, there was a disciple in Joppa called Tabitha. Wow! She wasn't only known to be a do-gooder, she was known to be a disciple first. Did you get that? Does that excite you? That excites me no end. Because they could have started the text. Luke could have started that sentence by saying, there was a woman in Joppa called Dorcas or called Tabitha. But he did not. He specifically chose there was a woman, there was a disciple in Joppa called Tabitha, called Ghazali, Gazelle. There are certain characteristics for being a disciple. And would you be interactive for a moment with me at this time? Is that okay? Excellent. Thank you for moving. I'm looking at the time. Otherwise, you're going to have a really long sermon. okay, describe a disciple for me. Shout a few characteristics of disciple for me. What is a disciple? Shout it out. A follower of Jesus. Anything more? A learner. A learner from Jesus and from the Spirit and from the Father. Thank you. Anything else? Righteous. Excellent. Thank you. Someone who takes on the character of Jesus. He understands what Jesus is all about when I emulate it in the world. Anything else? Obedient. Brilliant. Thank you. He hears the commands of Jesus and commissions of Jesus. Hugh? A martyr. Well, some disciples were martyrs, not all of them, but to live a life as though you have died to the world, that could be martyrdom too. I understand that. You die to the world and you live for Christ. Okay, good. Anything else? Act justly. Someone who acts with justice. Anyone else? A student of Christ. Someone who is connected to study and to get to know Christ and to learn from him how to live. Brilliant. Anything more? Humble. He is, learns the humility that Jesus says. As he was in the world, so we also need to be, from Philippians. Anything else? Merciful, because Jesus was merciful. Do you know, that's your descriptions. That was the description of Jesus. That was the description of Dorcas. And that should be the description of the disciples. Now, let me get it right. I'm not foolish enough to think we're all that. But I hope we're all growing into that. It all starts with being intimately connected with Jesus. That's why the start of discipleship. Jesus is in our hearts. We have connected with his sacrifice and his death. And we have been forgiven and we've been set free. And we've been made the children of the Father. And so we start the life of discipleship. That's what Dorcas was. There was a disciple in Joppa called Dorcas. Can I pick on some of you? Is that right? There was a disciple in Aberystwyth called John. There was a disciple in Llanilla called Berian. There was a disciple, or there is a disciple, in Llanbadan called Peter. There is a disciple, who am I going to pick on next? John in Penrincoch. Do you get that? It's a good thing to be known for first. Because if our life is coming out of that place, oh man, when we do good, we do it for him and for others, and not so that we can be seen or benefit from us ourselves. Are you with me? So the first point, she was a do-gooder and a servant. The second point, she was a disciple. The third point I want to pick up, she encountered the supernatural. She was raised from the dead. She was brought back to life. She lived again. She was dead, but now, from that moment when Peter asked her to rise up, she came back to life. The cloth of death was removed from her by a word from another disciple like you. Peter commanded her to come up, to rise up. And I want to say to you, we cannot strip the gospel message from the supernatural. Because the moment we do that, we're stripping a third of the gospels out. We're stripping at least 25% of the book of Acts. The supernatural is part of who we are. And we should long for it today to see it in our time, just as much as we long to see mercy being released in the world. Just as much as we long to see justice in the world, just as much as we long to see people coming to know Jesus Christ. In fact, these are the signs that tell the world that Jesus is someone worth following. That he's still alive today in his people. That the church is not a ghetto religious club that sit down and have religious discussions and a few religious songs and they go back to their homes. Just as much as we don't want to do that with issues of justice, just talk about it and discuss it and not do anything about it. I think when we read our scriptures and come to the supernatural, we need to say there is supernatural stuff here that I cannot actually strip out of my scripture and remain true to the scripture. But how do we get there? I hope you're saying, Monis, I am with you on this one, but my experience is telling me that I'm not sure about it. I'd like to be sure about it. How do I get there? There is a few steps we can take. I want to encourage you, here, look, we're a book culture in this congregation. Read about what God has been doing through the church since the time of the Acts of the Apostles. Read about the miraculous. See God moving in people's lives. Do not be put off by the prayers you prayed for people to see the supernatural and went answered. But actually say, well, it didn't happen this time. I'm going to try again. And I'm going to try again. I'm going to try again. But read and see God moving in people's lives and hear about the miraculous. Study stories of healings. That's why we put at the back, look what God is doing. Because we want to hear what God is doing. In the healing, in the supernatural, in provisions through supernatural appointments. So read about it first. The second thing is, if you hear about a speaker that you disagree with on so many other things, but you hear about a speaker that actually has been moving in the supernatural, and people tell you that he has been moving in the supernatural, and people have been reporting that, and he's coming near you, 5 hours away, go to 5 hours. That is very near to Aberystwyth, 5 hours away. Go to the conference and receive every little drop you can in that conference. Be encouraged with other saints. We're still friends, are we? I'm not too long to finish. Thirdly, if you have a chance to meet someone who encountered a supernatural experience, a miracle, an encounter that they couldn't explain with mere natural descriptions of our world, invite them for a coffee and drill them. Spend time with them. If they are ministers in that area, say, can I join you for a while? Can I attach myself to you to see how you do this? And through that you will grow, you will see. Fourthly, start small and with the simple. Quite often, we're so terrified of going to pray for anything because we haven't actually started with the small and simple. For me, do you know how I started? And I really believe wholeheartedly. And I prayed for people and I've seen healing. And I can give you a list of people I prayed for and the Lord reached out and healed. Some of them are big and some are small. I started praying for car parking spots. Now, some of you are going to think I'm undermining God. Why would God care about a car parking spot for me? He cared that day because I was in a mad rush to meet somebody I wanted to minister to. They needed to be ministered to, and I couldn't find anything. And I just prayed, Father, I need to stop now because I need to meet with this person. And as soon as I finished that prayer, a car in front of me pulled out, and I was able to park. It's an incident, coincidence, I know. But one of our archbishops once said, why do coincidences happen more often when we pray? Sorry, Archbishop of England, Church of England. No, I said one of our archbishops. Well, I served in England, I could say that. Are you with me in that one? Start small. Move on to pray for people to be healed from simple situations, like a headache. You know, we don't just say, take a tablet. I usually offer to pray for people when they tell me they've got a bad headache. Sarah and myself, we always pray for each other with the simplest of things. With that, we're building our faith muscles to expect, because that's what Peter had. You see, when the disciples, and in no coincidence, they started talking about Ananias, the one that Peter told him to get up off his mat. No coincidence, because it was well known all over the area, all over the Sharon plain, all over Lydda and Joppa. People heard, and many became Christians because they heard about that miracle. And so when Dorcas was ill and when she died, they had faith to believe that this man, Peter, who healed the cripple, could do something here. So they sent for Peter, and because what Peter has experienced before, he had the confidence to respond and to leave immediately. Do you know, for some people, when that comes in, we will say, oh, get somebody else. I say, I don't know, are you calling me? She needs to be buried, this woman. Soon she'll be rotting, sitting up there in the upper room. Don't you know the climate of the Sharon plain, southern Israel? It's hot. We bury the dead within 6 hours of death, certainly before sunset in that land. Are you with me? Have I offended most of you? Hopefully not. as Mike Pilavachi says, I'm coming to land. And then he takes 10 minutes. I'm not going to do that. Peter's faith was built up because Jesus put him in a situation where his faith could be built up. You know, he was one of the ones that went in to see Jairus' daughter. Do you remember that story? He saw Jesus says to the girl, get up. You've seen it done before. When he healed the crippled, he's seen Jesus do it before. In Acts chapter 2, he's going to the temple to pray. And this crippled man from birth reaches out his hands to them and he says, give me alms. And Peter looks at him, says this, look at me. I imagine the story. Look at me. Most probably Peter's clothing were tattered. He says, do you think I've got money? I haven't got any. But what I have, I will give to you. See, you've seen Jesus do it before. And because of that, he could step up with faith. Now, there is a problem. And this is the last thing. The problem is, what happens when we pray and our prayers are not answered for healing and for the supernatural? Weep with those who did not receive the miracle. But don't give up on pursuing the supernatural. Because you're going to end up with a stripped down faith that doesn't leave a space for God to move apart from in conversion. And as great as that is, and as much as I love that, the supernatural and miraculous of Scripture, the rest of these are still part of who we are and our heritage. I encourage you to pursue it. I encourage you to say to God, Lord, I want to know that my faith is beyond words, that my faith is beyond this world, the natural world. That my faith is also supernatural. There is a conference every summer. It's the last year they're going to have it. It's called Naturally Supernatural. The Christians are called to be naturally supernatural. Would you allow God to reveal that in you and to use you in that? Oh, Peter, thank you that you did not shrink from the call. Thank you that, Father, for giving us Peter as an example, a human being just like us. A human being who believed in who you are fully and who responded to every call upon his life. And although he got it wrong so many times, he got it right also so many times. Teach us, Lord, to live in such a way that the disappointments and the failures of our past doesn't determine our passion and our risk-taking faith in the future. You are an amazing, wonderful God. Release the supernatural among us now and always. In Jesus' name, amen. I chose this reading just as a disclaimer. because it's the set text, one of the set texts for today from the Church of Wales, from the Common Lectionary. And I didn't pick on St. Michael's only. I preached it in St. Anne's, in Holy Trinity, and now here at St. Mike's. So, and you preach on it in, oh, here you go, it's been in the whole parish today. So will you please stand for the peace?